College Football Podcast with Herbie and Pollock. Now here's your host, Kevin Negandhi.
Friday means one thing to Pollock and me here on the podcast. Time to make some picks. Only two games separated us last week. We split. You had SMU, I had Temple. We were not going to talk about that game. You had Oklahoma State, I had Baylor, and how about that? That was fantastic by the Bears, doing what they did on the road. Boise State crushed us both, and so did Missouri. We talked about them twice in the podcast far, and those weeks, they lose, right?
Your lips are moving, but I'm just ready to hear. We had a bet, right? I mean, I'm ready for you to own up to who you are as a man, and I'm ready for you to just realize and just go ahead. America's listening.
All right, we had a side bet here because I had Penn State and I was laying the points, 8.5 points. You had Michigan and you were taking the points. And here's the thing, man, that first half, I'm like, yeah, man, Friday's podcast is going to be fantastic.
And then they played two halves in football. That's
Yeah,
by the way, you're a Ronnie Bell completion away from going to overtime and losing the game outright.
Bro, so you're 100%. Just be helpful. Ronnie Bell catches that, and I think Michigan wins. All right, so what was that? I gotta say some nice things about you? Is that what I gotta do?
Just be honest. Just, you know what? It's really good in relationships to be honest and to tell the other ones a lot of times how you feel about them. Like, when you have your girls out there, you gotta make sure you let them know. Your partner's out there on the road with you. You know, I mean, we do this show twice a week. Like, how do you feel about me as an analyst? Just answer the question.
And guys, also, you know, when you're talking to your girlfriend, sometimes it's okay to just say, whatever you want. And it may not be what you feel, but you just say, whatever you want. Now, we're at that stage right now in our relationship. So here we go. Okay, Herb Street's great. You know, so is Dez and Velma, Sanchez, Palmer and Galloway. Can't forget about Acho and Mora. But let me tell you, my favorite analyst who lives next to a farm and talks to cows is David Pollock. No one can touch the man who thinks sugar is Satan. David Pollock is the best college football analyst I know.
If I had the button, if I was the producer, I'd be pushing the, you know, standing ovation button because you nailed it. I mean, that was perfect. Yeah. I, by the way, out of all your breakdowns of all the games, that's the best I've ever heard. I mean, that's the best you've ever done.
That's the best one, huh?
Yeah.
I cut right to it and got to the heart of the whole story.
Right to it, brother. Right to it.
Hey, listen, game day is in South Dakota for that FCS battle. Number one, North Dakota State at number three, South Dakota State. Really great rivalry game. So many backstories. I know you're going to have a blast, for the next 24 hours in that entire environment. But, you know, one thing you guys are going to talk about while you're there is also some of the other games. And let's get to our games here. And let's start with Wisconsin at Ohio State, a game that should have been, if they played a week earlier, it would have been like, okay, who you got? This is for Big Ten Brad. Bragging rights, but the way things have shaped out, obviously with Wisconsin coming off that loss to Illinois, are we both lockstep here that it's going to be Ohio State's offense being too much for this entire Wisconsin team?
Yeah, and you know, we were talking about Wisconsin's defense, you know, a week ago and before the Illinois game and talking about how dominant it was, and then it wasn't. So just some of the elements that they did is going to carry over really well. Some of the elements of success for Illinois is going to carry over. But, you know, I tell you what, I think Chris Orr and Zach Bond, I think those are guys that can make it harder still from what we've seen from anybody who's played Ohio State. And Reggie Pearson's a safety that is physical number two that comes down the box and plays well. I think Jim Leonard will have a plan, and he'll have a plan to slow down Ohio State and make it more of a game initially. But the problem is, man, speed and Dobbins and Fields and playmaking ability that I just don't think they can contain with. And when you go on the other side, you know, Wisconsin doesn't have, you know, Jack Cohn's looked good, and his running ability, by the way, will be key in this game. But can the offensive line protect him? Can they stay in good situations? I don't think they can. I think we're going to see Ohio State pull away and win this game pretty big.
Yeah, I'm with you. After all the things you said and all the buildup and giving Wisconsin a little bit of love in their offense, I think Ohio State wins pretty big. I think they win by double digits here. And that takes us to the next game in the Big Ten, and that's Penn State at Michigan State. And that's going to be just – it always is. It's just, you know, behind-the-shed fight back and forth here. Before we get to a pick, I want to know, how do you view Penn State? I mean – undefeated here. Is there a gap after what you watched, you know, on Saturday night? Is that gap closer to Ohio State than we think?
I don't think offensively, I don't think they're in the same stratosphere as Ohio State. And they've got a playmaker, but Ohio State has three or four, you know, and that's just this offense. We talked about it going in, and I told you Clifford has a little bit of, he's still developing. He's still growing as a passer. And I think you saw that in the ball game where they had 283 yards, Kevin, at home against Michigan. I mean, Michigan's a good defense. Ohio State's a really good defense. I can't put them in that category because let's look at the top teams in the country, Kevin. And when Alabama's healthy, they got Tua, obviously. They got Trevor. And when you're talking about the dynamic teams like Jalen Hurts and Oklahoma, like those are the teams that LSU has Joe Burrow who's setting the world on fire. Sean Clifford, toe-to-toe with Justin Fields and those guys that we're talking about, one of those is not there yet. One of those is not like the other. And so I think there's separation. I think Penn State's defense is really good in the front seven. They can cause anybody issues. But you saw the secondary have some concerns in the Michigan game. And I told you I had concerns going into it with their secondary and their ability to cover in the back end consistently. So I think they're a notch below those top-tier teams. But – listen, they don't have to apologize for that. And if they keep getting the ball to KJ Hamler and they keep playing great defense, they'll be in every game. But this week, they've not been great against Michigan State, homie. They've struggled against Michigan State. I think they lost four of the last five, I think. You know, something like that.
It has not been pretty. It has not been pretty for the Nittany Lions.
Michigan State's defense, they're susceptible, I think, more in the back end than the front seven. And, you know, can Penn State take advantage of that? I think it's a close game.
Yeah, they're favored by 6.5 points, but they're on the road, and I wouldn't touch that game. Not at all. And to me, I got to tell you, I kind of want Penn State to win just for one reason. I want the showdown against Minnesota on November 9th. I want both those teams to be undefeated at Minnesota because I want to learn a little bit more about Penn State here in that environment and Sean Clifford handling a Minnesota team where both teams come in undefeated. Whether PJ Fleck's team's going to be ready, who knows? I just think that environment will be nuts. I like Morgan as a quarterback. Efficiency wise, he's pretty good. 16 touchdowns and 3 picks. We'll talk about that as we get closer to November 9th, but we're both going Penn State here. We'll be back in a minute as we continue to roll through the week 9 slate. But first, a word from AT&T and Allstate. Yeah, college football is great unless, of course, it's just okay. Like when students decide to paint their chest with different letters to spell some word and then they stand together to get on TV but they're spelling the word wrong or they lined up in the wrong order. Sure, not everybody's an English major, and I get it. We can't all win the National Spelling Bee. But come on, people. You should know how to spell Wildcats or Bulldogs. The purpose isn't to have a word jumble in the student section to keep your mind sharp or something. Just okay is not okay, whether it's college football fans or your wireless network. You want to watch the best college football just like you want to go with AT&T, America's best network. Don't settle for typos on people's chests and don't settle for anything less than the best wireless network. Get the best college football and get AT&T. Best network based on GWS One Score, September 2019.
Because mayhem on Saturdays in the fall is inevitable. Mayhem happens on the field, off the field, and in the polls. Mayhem lives on the wind, in the rain, on the foot of an errant kick, and during a trap game. You'll find mayhem in the parking lot, during tailgates, charcoal that's not totally out, an errant football through a window, a flat tire, a lost side view mirror, etc. You get the point. Allstate protects you from mayhem in the parking lot and outside it, at home and away. You can't stop mayhem from happening, but you can get better protected from it with Allstate. The potential for mayhem during the playoff race is rampant. Underdogs, trap games, unexpected weather, etc., etc., etc. Get better protected from mayhem with Allstate. Contact your local Allstate agent today. Now back to the show.
Texas at TCU. Now, I circled this game because I cannot believe in Austin the fight that the Les Miles was giving for Texas's defense because they put up 48 points and they were winning at different parts of this game, Texas had to put up 50 points in Austin.
First of all, why can't you believe that? Have you been watching Texas's defense all year?
I have, but it is still bad. Kansas. It is still Kansas.
I get you, but they're bad. I mean, there's no week that they're safe any week with that defense. I mean, and listen, a lot of it has to do with injury. They're banged up like crazy.
Oh, yeah,
man.
Totally. And that's, absolutely.
That's a big part of it. But Texas, I don't feel good about going into any game if I'm Tech. Last year, the one thing I could depend on was my defense. Every single week, Ehlinger was growing and getting better, and you could see his confidence grow throughout the season. But the defense, you were like, okay, those dudes are good. And
yes.
Now you're like, those dudes are not real good. And so it's just, it's going to be a mixed bag. It's going to be the old school, Big 12 type teams, and it's going to be a outscore them a lot of times. And their defense is going to have to get some pride about them and get better. And, hopefully you can continue to get guys back. You got 55,000 guys injured. So it's just, I don't think if I'm Texas, I'm ever feeling great about the matchup.
Texas is laying one on the road at TCU. So who you got?
I will take Texas and I will take Sam Ehlinger. I mean, you showed last week that it might be Kansas and whatever, but I know what I'm getting for Ehlinger. It's seasoned and he can run and he can throw. He's a dual threat guy. TCU's offense is still finding themselves and goes through spurts where they're very, very, very one dimensional. And, and listen, that might be good enough to beat Texas if their defense doesn't step up and play better, but I'll take Sammy Ehlinger.
Yeah, he's the one thing that we know no matter what, right? That we can guarantee. And it's not Nate Stanley. It's Sam Ehlinger. That's the guarantee. Man. And poor Nate, I take a knock on Nate, but boy, man, I thought he was.
You loved him versus Michigan, I tell you what.
He was the one thing I could.
I can depend on Nate Stanley versus Michigan, so I'm picking Iowa. I was like, really? You can depend on Nate Stanley? What have you watched that makes you think you can depend on
Can
Nate?
Can we just move on? Can we just
sure,
move on?
Four turnovers because later,
Michigan's backfield, I mean, their front defensive line was in that backfield all day against Iowa. Let's get to the Michigan conversation as they host Notre Dame. Paul Feinbaum recently said this is the biggest game for Jim Harbaugh in his career at Michigan. How do you view a game like this for Harbaugh?
Well, I mean, it's a big game, but you know, Paul likes some hyperbole. He definitely likes to always do that, and I get it. But who else are you going to get at Michigan? Is my question. Like who, you know, if you went through the Brady Hoke era and the Rich Rod era, like it was really, really bad. And listen, I thought after. Last week, I thought if they lost to Penn State and looked bad again, I'm like, what's the deal? Like, what the heck are you going to do? But I saw signs of life, and we talked about it on Wednesday. I mean, I think I saw signs of life from Michigan that I haven't seen in a while. And so I think it's a big game for Michigan. But to me, it's just about being competitive. If you lose close games, so be it. But when you get stomped out by Wisconsin, you deserve to be talked about. And I don't like how Harbaugh blamed the refs after the game. That drives me nuts. I think he's off base, by the way. You want to blame the refs? Go look at Will Muschamp for God's sakes. Like that guy got hosed.
Poor Will.
You want to talk about a reason to gripe? You talk about, oh my Lord have mercy.
That's big play was unbelievable.
Unbelievable. The offsides, whatever. I digress. But, I think Michigan found itself a little bit. And remember, Brian Kelly ain't been good on the road against ranked teams, and it's a struggle. And if I wouldn't have broke this down for you so eloquently on Wednesday, you would have picked Notre Dame. I will take Michigan. I think Michigan offense is more believable now, and I know their defense is going to be good. I think they're a better team at home than they are on the road, i.e. Iowa a couple weeks ago when you picked Iowa. And so I will take the Michigan Wolverines.
I'm going to pull a Pollock because I was actually, before this podcast started, before we talked on Wednesday, I was going to take Michigan. But I'm going to pull a Pollock, and I'm going to take Notre Dame. And just because Ian Book is the one quarterback in this game where I'm like, I'm comfortable here. I think Brian Kelly will have some designs, and I think after handling the Georgia environment, they will handle this Michigan environment. I'm going with the Fighting Irish, even though Michigan's laying the points as of right now by one, which I feel completely uncomfortable with because I think everybody's taking on the other side.
Vegas always knows something when this
is going.
It's just crazy, man. It's like Miami, Virginia on a Thursday night. You're going, there is no way in Hades the way Miami has looked, they should be the favored.
Yes.
And they win by like 13. And you're just like, what the heck do they know that we don't know?
Yeah, but I'm just going to do a Pollock for our purposes here as we discuss making these bets. So, all right, I'm going with that. And by the way, you mentioned who would they replace Harbaugh with? It's a great point. I will say one guy who I think can potentially do it, and he'll bring a mentality that I think the Michigan fan base would really like, is Matt Rhule from Baylor.
Yes.
That's the one guy that I think that if you still want to have your roots, because he's a Big Ten guy, let's not forget he went to Penn State, he understands the physicality, but I also think it's fresh juice. He will be a really good recruiter. But I don't know if Matt Rhule is going to be in the college game in the next 2 years. I think that guy's going to go to the NFL. He has aspirations about the NFL, and that's never been a hidden secret here. So
okay, but we can play the domino game if you'd want, because here's what you could see happening. And I'm going to go ahead and lay this out, because my small brain, you know, thinks about stupid things like this when I'm at home at 8 o'clock on a Monday night. All right,
let's
so
take it.
If you go USC. And the USC jobs opens. I think James Franklin is a lock for that. I think it would be a great hire. Matt Rhule now goes to Penn State. He goes to his own.
Without a question.
Yes. That makes the connection to me a little bit different. I think USC, they would do themselves well to hire James Franklin. I wouldn't touch Urban Meyer just because of the past, and they've already had a past, and, you know, and listen, Urban Meyer, I know he's a winner and he's a great coach, but every job is always comes with something. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I don't,
yep.
and he's great.
Yep.
I'm not knocking the guy, but I'm just saying that there's always been stuff. Like when he left Florida, that there was stuff, and then Ohio State, there was stuff, and USC's already had their stuff recently that I don't know. That's something you want to do. I think Bob Stoops would be another name you'd hear at USC too, but
that is actually a fantastic name. You got me intrigued here, because I'm with you. I think Franklin would be perfect there at USC, but Bob Stoops at USC, I'm like, okay, I'll be listening to that. I'd love to see how that plays out. All right, let's continue our picks. Auburn at LSU, that environment, Death Valley, Auburn bringing that defense. I'm kind of curious to see how Bo Nix responds in the environment. That seems to be a theme here when we're talking about the freshman after going to the swamp a few weeks ago. Who you got?
I got the same as you. I mean, it's just hard it's hard to bet against LSU. And this is a huge test for LSU. And man, I feel like they've been the most battle tested team in college football though. And they've passed every test so far. Defensively, I still want to see more from them, and pass rush has to continue to grow and get better. But I really, the biggest thing I want to see with this matchup is Todd Grantham had his swing at this offense and failed. I want to see now this Auburn defense, because when you look at this Auburn defense, it's so good. It's so good at every level. Can they slow them down? Because if they can't slow them down, who the heck can? You know, I mean, it's just, if Auburn can't make it hard on LSU and Joe Burrow and force more stops, then I don't know that there's anybody in college football that is going to be able to do it.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you. We're lockstep here. Hang on for just a second. We're going to hit on Oregon, Washington State, what needs to happen for the Pac-12 to get back into the college football playoff conversation. But first, let's hear from our sponsor, Goodyear.
Sometimes for inspiration, you just have to look up. For more than 60 years, the Goodyear blimp has fueled greatness on the gridiron by providing aerial coverage of some of the most legendary moments in college football history. When the Goodyear blimp rises above a stadium, it inspires players to reach higher and rise to the challenge of the game's biggest moments. Now it's your turn to go further with Goodyear. Discover tires made to rise above the rest. Learn more at Goodyear.com. Goodyear, more driven.
I want to pick a game here, and I know you're going to be like, why are we picking this game? I want to pick the game here because of conversation, all right? And that is Oregon hosting Washington State. It's a night game, Pac-12 after dark on ESPN. Oregon's favored by 2 touchdowns. But the reason why I want to bring this up is I was really impressed by the Ducks and what they did in the second half against Washington. And when you look at the way things are being played out in the Pac-12 North, and it looks like it's all secure for Oregon here, you can make a case. And I know you dug that grave and you buried them a long time ago. You could make a case here with Oregon getting a chance potentially into the conversation if we have multiple one-loss teams in the playoff. How do you view the Pac-12 with Oregon's chances as well as Utah?
Let me ask you a question. Did you think when you watched that game, did you feel that Oregon was the better team?
What I felt in the second half was this is the Justin Herbert I've been waiting for, and this is the Oregon defense that I knew we could count on. Does that make sense? Okay. Because the Oregon defense is the one thing we know we can see, and we didn't see them in the first half. And then in the second half, they were awesome in that second half, and Herbert was really good. There were plays where sometimes I'm like, oh my goodness, this guy's the next version of Blaine Gabbert. He does nothing to inspire me. He looks like an NFL quarterback, but he doesn't make those plays where you're like, we need a guy who's a franchise guy to make a play. And then in the second half, he made a couple throws, and I'm like, all right, Herbert, that's a grown man's drive right there. I fit that second half.
To me, it felt like the Auburn-Oregon game over again, except for this time Oregon was Auburn, and they came back and won. I felt like they were dominating the game. I felt like they were in complete control, and it felt like that for the majority of the game. And again, you say you can depend on Oregon's defense. They gave up 31 to Washington, who hadn't been that great offensively.
Well, yeah, but let's not forget, 28 of them came in the first half. So they gave up only 3 points in the second half.
Yeah, and listen, to me, the biggest difference, and by the way, I got another name for you if you want to start getting ready for it, is for Oregon's running back, if you got that one down pat yet. To me, the biggest difference was the second half was that Oregon just physically dominated. And physically ran the football, and it was 33. You want to give me the pronunciation for that, by the way, whenever you get to it. But it was me. It was like, all right, we're going to run the daggum football. We're going to pound away at you, and we're going to be extremely tough and extremely physical. And they did play good defense. I'm not going to sit there and tell you that I'm buying into Oregon. And I think they're the best one loss team in the country. I think they're really good. I think Herbert had some good moments, and I think play calling wise, they were phenomenal. They were dialing up some great the fourth down play, that the screen on fourth down was absolutely amazing, especially against man coverage. When you send a guy in motion in that orbit motion and the guy runs across the formation, and you set it up perfectly. I remember watching that play. They ran it a couple years ago too, to success. So I think they dialed up some great plays and played exceptionally well. I guess we'll see him against Utah in the championship game. There's not a lot left to be desired, but Washington's a three loss team, homie. Is that their best win, or is a close loss to Auburn their best performance of the year?
You know, I think that Washington game is their biggest win, just because you win in Seattle and how they did it in the second half. Like, that's what stood out to me. And listen, Oregon is going to be tested in 2 weeks at USC. And I actually believe USC is a completely different team in the Coliseum than when they are on the road. And we've seen that. You could take a look at the numbers where USC just perform better. But they still got Arizona at Arizona State and, of course, the Civil War to end the season. So they're still going to be tested. But I'm just saying, if this team makes it out the way they do, we'll learn a little bit
Utah,
more.
And then Utah. So, I mean, you got, a couple teams that – You can look better and continue to grow and be a team that is in consideration for that spot. Because again, you're going to need a lot of help. I mean, we already talked about this. I mean, who are you going to put them in over now? Because Oklahoma looking like a lock. Clemson's looking like they're going to be there. Alabama or LSU looking like they're going to be there. Ohio State looking like they're going to be there. There's a lot of ground to make up. And if Penn State beats Ohio State and is an undefeated team or a one-loss team with that on their resume, they're still ranked ahead of Oregon. So they're still they would need a ton of help, and they would need Auburn to be some of that help, by the way. They need Auburn to beat Alabama. They need Auburn to beat Georgia. They need a lot of help from Auburn to be successful, to be a team at the end of the year that you went, that's a really dang good football team. By the way, playing a true freshman week one that scores 27 points on you and takes the lead late, I think Auburn's going to be a lot better at the end of the year than they were at the beginning of the year.
This certainly is not the season where you can afford to stumble here, because the way it's so top heavy with at least five teams that you can make a case, hey, they're going to go undefeated. They're going to go undefeated. I mean,
but go ahead. I'm not a prisoner of the moment. Like, I don't look at the Oregon-Washington game and all of a sudden start changing my, I mean, I watched the Oregon Cal game. I saw that against a good D. I saw the Oregon Stanford game, by the way. I mean, that was ugly, bro. That was not, it was 21-6, I think, was the score. It wasn't pretty. So I don't, I'm not. And again, we talk about their defense. I want to see their defense some more too, but Stanford's offense is atrocious. We know that. Cal's offense is atrocious. We know that.
Yep.
So I want to continue to see it. And you're right. A couple more tests, and USC to me will be a great test because of the way they throw it and the way as explosive as they are. But I'm not all in yet. Okay. I'm not drinking the green Powerade yet. All right. I'm not there yet with you.
You know, though, we're making progress, and I'm not a victim of the moment either, because honestly, I've talked to you about this conversation with Oregon a couple times, and previously we've expanded about 8 seconds because you're like, nope, they're done. Pac-12's over. At least we had an extended conversation where we could see some things down the road.
And it's still over. But yeah, okay.
See? Great by the way, the name you're talking about, number 33,
can you say that
Cyrus.
Please?
Cyrus Habibi Lakio, and I think that's the name. Habibi Lakio.
God bless you.
Lakio.
Habibi,
right?
Lakio. Habibi Lakio.
I think that's right.
Gross Matos. I got that down pat now. Yitor Gross Matos. Yeah.
So, you know what I love about the podcast? That we went through that, and then you made sure that you used it that weekend on game day. You were prepped up and ready to go, and everybody else is like, oh, look at this. Look at Pollock here when he brought it up.
I have to thank Kevin every week on game day for his pronunciations, because it ain't me, bro.
That's fantastic. I'll take it, considering I had to call you the greatest analyst ever. Good stuff here. And, you know, we're going to wrap it up because I think I had Arizona State and UCLA. And the reason why I brought that up is because the line is like 3.5 points and you're like, whoa, what is this? What is going on? And who knows what to expect from UCLA? I have no idea from Chip's team, because the minute you think Chip's team's going to lose in a laugh or they find a way to stun you, But I think we could agree that Arizona State's the team that we're going to go with here, the Fighting Herm Edwards. And the one separation with us will be Notre Dame, Michigan. So I look forward to our text back and forth in a contest like that. ABC, it's going to be a great environment in prime time. Speaking of great environments, enjoy South Dakota for me, man.
Heck yeah, man. It's awesome, dude. It's always a different level of – and listen, I don't mean this as a slight to anybody else, but you go to certain schools and it's like, oh, yeah, you're supposed to be here. And then you go to schools like this that now it's like, thank you so much for coming. And it's just everybody thanks you. You're like, bro, you don't have to thank me. I'm getting paid for this. Like, this is my job. I'm supposed to be here. It's all good. But, you know, it's just it's awesome just to go off the radar. It's awesome to not be at some of the, you know, the cliche games or the other games when you can go highlight two programs that are killing it at a different level and a different environment that people have never seen before. So it's awesome.
Yeah, it's a different kind of juice, and you guys are going to
feel it. By the way, I'm checking off another state on my list. I have 6 states I haven't visited, so now, boom, South Dakota's off the list. Yeah.
Well, you gotta tell me what South Dakota's like. I've never been, so 6 states left. You've been to what, 44 of them already?
Yeah, bro. Yeah, we've had some travels. That Thursday night football really for when you do that for 3 years, man, you go to Boise and you go to BYU and you go all over the daggum play. Washington State, I mean, you go across the country, and it's kind of cool cuz you see all the different schools and locations and facilities and fans and all that stuff, and then you do it with game day on Saturday. So I'm literally going, you know, shoom 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 all the way across the country.
That's pretty cool. And I like that list. Maybe one of these podcasts you're going to tell me the 6 remaining states. We'll go over that. All right, man. Enjoy South Dakota. All right, buddy.
Appreciate it, brother.
Want to thank Pollock for joining us, especially on the road, as well as our sponsors, Allstate, AT&T, and Goodyear. Big thanks to our producer, Taylor Schwenk, on the other side. Check out our brand new podcast, ESPN Daily, hosted by Mina Kimes, Monday through Friday. She takes a look at the most interesting stories at ESPN in just 20 minutes. Listen and subscribe now to ESPN Daily, wherever you find your podcasts. One of my favorite things to do when I wake up in the morning, just check out what Mina's talking about in the conversations on ESPN Daily. That'll do it for us. Enjoy the weekend. Looking forward to Monday when we have Herb Street back in with us on the podcast.